Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
The final four segments, ladies and gentlemen. The remake of The Wolfman. Anthony Hopkins plays his father. That was the Claude Rains role in the original 1941 version. I thought it was a bad film. I thought the spoiler making Anthony Hopkins the werewolf who bit his son and made him a werewolf too was just, you know, not the way to do it. In the original movie, Bela Lugosi bit Lon Chaney Jr. to make him the Wolfman. There you go. I don't mind spoiling a movie when I think it was really badly done. It tried loosely to follow the 1941 version, but it's one of those things where they make a remake of a movie and you wonder, why? Doesn't the original movie, like The Day the Earth Stood Still, come up as a classic? Why did you have to get... forget it. Why did you have to have a remake? Let's get back to werewolves. There's a question, by the way, in our forums. I think just one question, Chris, that you want to check into.
And it comes from Solarian, who's one of our newest members of the forum.theparacast.com family. And he says, I would like to...
And he's not a werewolf, by the way. I want to tell you right now. As far as I know, Solarian is not a werewolf.
No,
he might be
not
ET,
a werewolf.
But not a werewolf. Go ahead. Question, please.
Well, he would like to hear you retell the story of a man dog who stole a trailer hitch from a Wisconsin resident. That is one of the strangest Wolfman cases I've ever heard over the radio.
Who stole a trailer hitch?
Yeah, that's what
I'm drawing a total blank on that. You know, he's not talking about a Wisconsin man contracting for the DNR who had... Oh, I know. He stole... It wasn't a trailer hitch. It was an aluminum ATV ramp. That's what he's talking about. This man was contracting for the DNR as a deer carcass picker-upper, for lack of a better phrase, and this happened north of Milwaukee by a huge Catholic twin-spired shrine called Holy Hill, which is a hill that's long, long been considered sacred, and then there's this beautiful big Catholic shrine built on top of it, and the spires are lit up. And it was right across from the entrance to this this shrine, which is very hilly, wooded, somewhat suburby, rural area, but there's nobody around at 3 in the morning. And he made his rounds in the wee hours when he wouldn't get run over getting out of his truck and picking up these deer. Well, he came across one that was small enough that he didn't need to get his aluminum ATV ramps out in order to shove it up onto the truck. That's why he had those in the back of his truck. So he threw it on top of these ramps. And then he got back in his cab. He had all the light. He had the cab light flashing on top. He had the inner light on. All the lights on his truck were going, so it was pretty well lit. And he had to fill out paperwork because it wasn't on his list. So he's sitting there writing, and all of a sudden his truck rocks, kapadoop, like that. And he thinks, well, that's weird. It must be the wind. But no, there is no wind. So then it did it again, and he looked in the gigantic side view truck mirror, and he saw something standing that was 6 to 7 feet, had to be 6 to 7 feet tall for it to be showing, with the head of a wolf, but then this sort of muscular shoulder area, and it was reaching with one paw into the back of his pickup truck. And now this guy I've come to know very well, he stands well over 6 feet tall. He's an inveterate outdoorsman. His name is Steve Kruger, and he even... has an outdoors magazine that he publishes. So he knows his animals. And he was running through the possible list, and when he realized he couldn't recognize what this thing was, sheer terror took over, and he just floored it. And he heard two thumps, and he knew right away as he was driving what those thumps were. One was the dull thump of the deer carcass being pulled out onto the road, and the other was the clang of one of his aluminum ATV ramps. And he kept going for a couple of miles till he got to an intersection and sat there and breathed heavily for a while until finally he decided that he really needed that. You know, he wasn't a rich man, and those ramps are not cheap. And he decided he was going to go back and just see if he could get the ramp back. If the creature was still there, he would just keep going as fast as he could. So he drove back, didn't meet anybody coming or going either way. When he got back there, the carcass was gone, and so was the ATV ramp. Neither one were ever found. They were just gone. And
how bizarre.
Yeah, and he
What would be the motivation for a wolfman to steal an aluminum ATV ramp?
Well, his theory was that when he threw the deer in the truck bed, the ramp kind of got tangled up in its legs, and when the creature tugged the deer out, the ramp came with it. But then where did the ramp go? You know, that's the weird thing. Unless it stayed tangled up and got dragged into the woods.
Maybe the werewolves have a flea market.
Yeah, the werewolf flea market
where they steal ramps and stuff from regular people and they put them on sale.
Yeah, or maybe he just thought it would be handy for dragging the deer into his den. Like, hey, yeah, this is a good idea. You know, I could use one of these puppies. So the thing was that nobody probably would have ever learned about it, except that being the conscientious good guy that he is, Steve decided he should go report it to the Washington County Sheriff because although he couldn't tell what it was, he felt it was probably dangerous and that people should know it was there. So as soon as he wrote that it was standing on its hind legs, fur covered, deputy writing it down wrote the word Yeti, even though Steve never said the word Yeti. And it got reported from the police log as a Bigfoot, which it never was. And Steve still is angry today that the newspaper said Bigfoot sighting scene. You know, and of course it made the newspapers then. But, yeah,
maybe
it's a pretty good...
Maybe the media felt it wouldn't sound right if you said werewolf.
Well, that's true, you know, and then the fact is that they just weren't listening. I've had many witnesses who've gone and reported to authorities tell me the exact same thing. They try to describe something tall, upright, and furry, and they don't listen to what you're reporting. They just immediately write down Bigfoot or Yeti or something like that.
Well, let me ask you that question. You raise a new issue here. And that is here, do you think that some of the creatures that have been described as Yeti are really these man-wolves or whatever?
I think it's very possible. I just saw one the other day that I'm pretty sure was, because it's not generally as well-known. Everybody knows about Bigfoot, you know, their movies, Harry and the Hendersons. But when you think about something that looks like a werewolf, that's generally mentally filed in the fantasy realm by most people. They haven't heard that there are many people who have actually seen something that looks like this, you know, in the wild outdoors, or the not so wild outdoors. So I do think that there are cases probably where each one has been misidentified. The interesting thing, though, is that there are people who want to believe that all of the dog men or wolf men are actually what they call a snouted Bigfoot, which makes no sense to me because any witness who has seen either one, and I get Bigfoot reports as well, so I do know the difference. And when they get a good look, they're easily able to distinguish as to whether they saw a dog man or a Bigfoot. The dog man, you see the pointed ears on top of the head, has the long snout. The weight is generally estimated between 150 and 250 at most. I've had maybe one person say 300 or something, but most of the time it's estimated 150 to 250.
Werewolves watch their diet, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, they just have that slender canine build, although they're said to be more muscular in the upper chest and the thigh area and the arms, which makes sense if they're using them in two different ways, to walk bipedally and also on all fours. Whereas Bigfoot is usually at least 7 to 8 feet tall, sometimes 9 feet tall, weighs many hundreds of pounds, varies all over the place, is much broader. The arms and legs are thicker. The arms are very long. And people will say they see hands with Bigfoot and flat feet as opposed to paws and something walking on its toe pads. The Bigfoot can walk much more erectly than the dog man. You don't see ears. You don't see a neck. It's just got a very primate shape. It's a very different thing. And again, it has knees bending forward like a human, and the footprints are much more like a human's, whereas the dog man's footprints look like a giant, supersized timber wolf.
Think maybe we're dealing here with some sort of missing link, and we'll get into that in a moment. Linda Godfrey, talking about werewolves with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Good day, Peter Kranchnabel from Midas Resources. Today's October 19th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1735.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1778.17, $889.08 for a half ounce, and $444.54 for a quarter ounce. $1735.30, $889.08, and $444.54.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
When you talk about the difficulty of maybe walking upright, Linda Godfrey, do you think here maybe we have some kind of missing link?
Well,
type
a link,
of creature?
I think when you're talking about the dog man, you mean?
Yeah, some kind of missing link, like something more related to a Neanderthal.
No, I don't think so because, you know, the Neanderthals were pretty darn human. They were primates. They were not canines. And these things are canine. They walk on their toe pads. They've got the canine skeletal structure. The skulls are completely different. They're not primates like us. They're different. I think that I can conjecture, and this is not science, but my conjecture is that if it is some sort of naturally adapted animal, that perhaps there were some individuals at some point that had mutations for slightly larger feet and paws that made it a little easier for them to walk upright than most of their companions, and that they found it handy in some ways for their survival. For instance, if they were living in the prairie states, they could stand up and see whether deer were coming toward them or maybe a bear or something else like that. And that once they got their prey, if they stood and ran on their hind legs, it left their forelimbs free for carrying the carcass, just as so many present-day eyewitnesses have seen them doing. I've read that scientists think that with humans, if you believe in evolution, they think that when primates were able to free their forelimbs, it made for all kinds of new brain connections. Many new neurons were able to be developed, and that this might have helped the wolfmen intellectually too, and perhaps is one reason that they seem so intelligent and that it helps them to be elusive and be a little smarter than the average wolf. So I really think that it might be more a case of natural selection. And again, I don't have scientific proof for this. I don't claim that it's scientific. It's just my own speculation and common sense.
Well, you bring up a good point, and that is scientific proof. What sort of physical evidence do we have? Do we have any sort of hair samples, scat, any really good photographic evidence or film footage? Or it's pretty rare, but I have seen some pretty impressive tracks. But
right.
Do we have any sort of scientific evidence that's been able to pass any sort of muster?
Well, the tracks are the best evidence in my view. I have the feeling, because I think these things are totally canine, that if you got a hair sample, if you got scat or anything like that, even flesh or tissue, that it would test out as a wolf-dog hybrid. I really think that. Partly because they've recently discovered that when you see wolf packs with dark, where the wolves have dark brown fur like these guys have, there almost always is dog DNA present. So I do think there's some type of wolf and dog hybrid. And then, you know, you really can't prove anything by that. Whereas if you DNA tested Bigfoot hair and you get this primate, you know, we don't have anything native like that in North America. So you've got something much better to work with. Now with the footprints, the thing is that I recently measured some and have a cast of some that were found in Rock County, Wisconsin, down here in southern Wisconsin, that were 6 to 6.5 inches across, which is really bigger than any timber wolf ought to be. And there were only the hind prints. There weren't any forepaw prints. And you could see it was going across a muddy cornfield, and it was chasing a deer. You could see the deer prints, and you could see its prints. I have another example that was taken in South Milwaukee, of all places, where there happened to be a cornfield leading up to a cliff near Lake Michigan. And this was just in a little dogleg lane, forgive the pun, off of this little gravel road, that I happened to find this mud puddle where, again, you could see a deer was springing out. You could see where its rear hoofs had pushed down for the big spring. And this canine creature with 6-inch wide footprints right next to it. And they were a total of 8 inches long, because there was another impression that was sort of like a heel impression. And I think that probably is what would be their heel joint hitting the ground when it was springing in turn after the deer. And I did have Wisconsin's top wolf expert look at them with the state DNR, and he agreed that they looked like wolf prints. He didn't have any explanation for the length of them, other than that perhaps he suggested that wolves often walk in their own tracks. But in that case, there should have been a second set of toe prints and claw marks, which were missing.
That's a big dog, 6 inches across. My goodness.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's twice the size of
It is twice the size of, like, the largest dog species. And a giant big wolf will be 4, maybe 5 at the most. But four is a good size for a wolf, 4.5, something like that.
One question that occurs to me here, we're still talking about werewolves, man-wolves. Are all the creatures we see, these hairy, upright canines, of the male species or what?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've had a few people report that they saw male organs apparent on the creature. And I do ask the question when it appears that the person had a look at that part of it. And usually they'll just say, you know, it was covered with such a dense, shaggy fur all over its body that, you know, I really couldn't tell. But in Real Wolfmen True Encounters, I do cite the case of a man who was in Kentucky in a state park and saw what he felt was a female of the species walking upright with a couple of pups also walking upright following her. So he didn't see any female attributes, just assumed that this was the mother, you know, since there were the young ones. I've had other people in other pet places report very short dog-like upright creatures, too, that could have also been pups. Or maybe just a smaller species variation, for all we know.
Are you familiar with the case that Stan Gordon mentioned in his mysterious Pennsylvania book about some sort of wolfman-type creature that, if memory serves me correct, chased some kids in a car and actually clawed, left quite impressive scratch marks on the trunk of the car? I'm trying to remember the details of this, but...
Yeah, and I'm sitting here staring at my weird Pennsylvania book on my bookshelf, but I can't get to it with my headphones on to look up. But I can tell you that I've had other reports like that in Wisconsin.
Yeah, because I'm looking for any sort of physical evidence that could give us some sort of leg up on this scientifically. You mentioned tracks. You mentioned, you know, very good quality eyewitness sightings. How about any cell phone footage or photographs or any sort of video or film footage? I personally have never heard of any.
No, people send me things all the time, and there are a few that go around on the Internet, and they either turn out to be fakes or some sort of blob squatch type of thing, you know, that they're just too blurry to prove anything. And the thing is, you would need to have probably several minutes in really good light, showing it with some kind of thing to measure against it in the background and turning in different directions so that you could see it from various angles. That's what you would need in order to prove this and be sure that it wasn't Photoshopped. And even then, you know, it's amazing what you can do with Photoshop these days.
I'll tell you what, we have Linda Godfrey joining Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillup, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pillup. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food costs. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
The Paracast takes a canine bent just a couple of weeks before Halloween, exploring real werewolves, not the ones that shapeshift from humans and back, not the ones that bay at the moon, not the ones who become werewolves when the full moon is bright. And we're trying to figure it out, get a handle on it. Linda, obviously, if such creatures exist, we're going to want to somehow prove it, not just to convert skeptics, but get real evidence. And we've been seeing these things for years. We've been seeing Bigfoot for years. How would scientists get together if they could take it seriously, which is possibly a stretch and a half here? How would we find the evidence to prove these creatures really, really exist?
Well, like I said, it's frustrating because I think if you find a dead one, you are not really going to have any evidence that it's anything other than a large wolf-dog hybrid. Its behavior is what sets it apart. The fact that it walks on its hind legs, which is not an impossible thing. In the wild, it usually only happens if a forelimb is missing, and I've never had anybody report that. And domesticated dogs will do it if they're trained and motivated, you know, like the little dancing dogs at the circus.
These are dancing
They could be. Yeah, I've never seen anybody merengue, but my favorite YouTube, if you Google merengue dancing dog, you can get a really great video of a dog, you know, running around upright and doing all kinds of tricks. So it's the behavior that gets people, not really any inherent part of its makeup. So hair samples, scat, all that kind of thing aren't really going to do it. I think that the footprints, I've got good footprints and casts, and I guess those just aren't considered good enough evidence, although they could be used to convict people if you know, you're seen at a crime scene and the footprint matches your footprint. You know, it can be used as evidence in court. I will say that I do believe the anecdotal evidence is very strong. In the very first episode of Monster Quest, they asked me to round up, you know, just 7 or 8 general witnesses that they were mainly going by geographical ease, that lived nearby where we were filming and could be gotten to the place pretty easily. And we actually filmed more than we had space to use on the TV show. And polygraph tests were administered by a top-notch professional they brought in from Minneapolis, who subbed out to the Minneapolis police departments when they needed a real specialist. And he was tough, I'll tell you. the producers figured it would be about 50-50, you know, maybe half would pass and half would fail. They all passed with no evidence of deception and flying colors, every single one of them. And moreover, when they had asked me to ask whether they would take the test, I was a little embarrassed. I thought, oh, they're going to think that I don't believe them. They'll be offended. None of them were. They all said, yeah, I know exactly what I saw. I'll take any test you have. And that's something that I hear time and time again from people who send the reports in to me. It's like, I know what I saw. I don't care what anyone else says. This is what it was. And the fact that the sightings are so consistent, allowing for a smaller percentage, as I said, of these ones I call bedroom invaders that appear to be really another phenomenon entirely. Most of the sightings just describe something that is unique in its behavior.
Does sound very unique. What about around the world? We have reports of werewolves. Do they all look the same?
Well, say in Europe, you know, where they also have wolves, people will see upright wolves. I've had people write to me and say my uncle described seeing something like this in the south of France during World War II when he was stationed there. I've had a woman tell me her grandfather growing up on Sicily, the island of Sicily, often saw a creature like this and described it to them. So I get reports from all over the world. The interesting thing is that when you get around to places like certain African countries where there are no werewolves, you'll get, or wolves, I guess, to turn into a legend, you will have stories where people see were-leopards, were-hyenas, whatever the top predator is, seems to be something that will be believed to walk on its hind feet and have some sort of transformational legend that goes
along.
Well,
that's also implying a cultural conditioning again.
Right.
So we expect wolves, we see wolves. If we expect hyenas, it'll be a were-hyena.
Or you could say, well, wherever, whatever predator is natural to the area, that's what's there and learns to walk upright. I don't know whether you can, and of course, we have the legends, you know, you have to sort out the legends from the contemporary reports. And I don't know that you have a lot of contemporary reports of things like were hyenas and were jaguars in Africa. I just don't know enough about it to say that. You know, but I would tend to suspect that most of them are more of the legend sort of thing or the shamanistic type of transformational thing that we talked about earlier, the shapeshifter. And that can occur, of course, with any sort of animal.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah. This fascinating stuff. I always, it's always been one of those head scratchers, the upright animal. Where are the hottest spots? You mentioned southern Wisconsin. Are there other areas around the country where these types of sightings tend to be clustered? I realize that most of these are just out of the blue, just, you know, no rhyme or reason, just people happen to be in the right place at the right time or wrong time, depending on your point of view. But
right.
Do we have any places like a Bray Road where they just have been seen for years and years and years and they tend to be clustered? You know, I'm trying to nail down where we might have breeding populations of these things, in other words.
Right. Well, I've got a map in my Real Wolfman, True Encounters in Modern America book where you can go and look and see where the main sightings clusters are, not every individual one, but the main ones. And some of them are kind of surprising. For instance, I've been starting to get multiple reports from the canyons around Los Angeles, which is a new thing. And some of them seem to have sort of dog-cat characteristics. They'll describe them as having ears that reminded them of lynxes, for instance, but otherwise they seem canine. There are clusters going on in Oklahoma. Different parts of Oklahoma seem to be hot spots. Northeastern Ohio is another area, both for Bigfoot and for Dogman. And then in Michigan, of course, you've got the million or so acres of the Manistee National Forest, where, again, you have both Bigfoot and Dogman. And Michigan has another interesting hotspot area, which is around Kalamazoo in the southern part, much more populated. And here's the kicker. What happened to be around Kalamazoo in ancient times was another form of effigy mounds that the settlers called garden beds when they arrive because they were raised perfectly groomed geometric formations that set in very complex patterns, and they reminded them of the formal gardens that were set around palaces in Europe. That's why they called them garden beds. And of course, then they went and plowed over them, but luckily somebody surveyed them first, and so we kind of know where they were. But that happens to be the other big hot spot sighting area in Michigan, near ancient Native American mounds. And the Native Americans who were still there when the settlers came said that the mounds were made by long ago people called the Yom Kodesh, or prairie people. And interestingly, that they set guardians around these mounds to guard them in perpetuity. And that's one other big theory that we haven't really touched upon yet that I've also heard from other Native Americans, is that some of them feel these creatures could be some kind of manifestation of guardian, spirit guardian creatures that come to life under certain conditions or are summoned by some people. Maybe when the area is disturbed, they're released and let loose. And that, again, that puts them in the spirit creature category. But I think that that is just a fascinating number of coincidences, if you will, that it all kind of comes together there with the ancient things and the spirit guardians. And
So like guard dogs.
Let's find out more about the guard dogs, the werewolves. The Legends with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need need for an airbrush or other spray equipment? Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable Wise Foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise Foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
This has been an awful lot of fun. We're almost done with the session, the final segment. Just like that, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, Linda Godfrey, exploring not the fake stuff, not the stuff from True Blood or the Wolfman, but real Wolfmen, True Encounters in Modern America, which is the name of the book. We're exploring all the crazy canine creatures that have been sighted, whether they are real, whether they are projections, whether we can ever find evidence. That's always been the problem, Linda, with all these mysteries, the kind of hit and run, cat and mouse game kind of thing, where you see these creatures, occasionally you get some footprints that may or may not represent something unusual, but you can never get at the core of the mystery. It's like it keeps running away from us.
It's very frustrating. You know, I would love to have it resolved and be able to figure it out. And I keep thinking, every time I write a book, I think, well, this is the end. I'll never think of anything else about it. Nobody else will ever come forward with any more stories. And then a flood of reports arrives and new theories come up. And there's always something more to think about. And I do think, even if my least popular choice would be that it turned out somehow the entire country was having shared mass hallucinations of seeing this thing. And I think that's a farther stretch than almost any of the other possibilities. At least we would know, you know, and I would rather know and find out than have it be a mystery forever. But I'd rather it be a mystery than just decide arbitrarily, okay, it's this or that. And it does frustrate people that I can't say for sure it's a natural animal or for sure it's a native spirit creature, because I think it would be dishonest of me to say, yes, this is what it is, just because that's what I think, when I really don't know.
Well, it's better than to present some kind of dogmatic conclusion. I was noticing, looking at the big bibliography and looking at your back titles, Linda, that you actually did one book with our old friend Nick Redfern.
He wrote a foreword to one of my books.
Okay.
Which may be what you're thinking of.
Oh, that's it, possibly. I think they list him as a co-author.
Yeah, sometimes they get those, if you're looking at the Amazon sheet, they get those mixed up. He wrote a really nice foreword to one of my books. But I did not have the pleasure of co-authoring, but Nick's a good friend of mine, too. You know, we often share information.
Nick's a friend of the show, and he's a guest co-host, so when Chris can't make it, or when Nick has a book out, which he has one out right now.
Every other week.
Basically, we could have Nick as a guest about twice a month.
Continually. I don't think he sleeps. I really don't think that man sleeps.
And he has a day job, by the way, as a writer right now. So he's writing a day job because, as a lot of people have learned, you don't become rich and famous
not by a long shot.
Books. No, you have a day job right now?
Well, no, I'm writing full time, but I also have a husband who works very hard and provides our main support, and who rues the day when I quit teaching art to start writing for newspapers and writing books and sorts of things, because I'd be sitting with a nice fat pension and, you know, we'd be much better financially.
What does your husband do? Do you want to mention that?
He is a civil engineer.
Okay.
So he's more of a science type mind, and he's very, very good at what he does and is very nice about letting me do what I do.
What does he think of his wacky spouse?
Yeah, that was my question. What does he think of your fascination with this particular subject?
Well, the thing is, he's been close enough to me to see all the times when, you know, they're just our true mysteries. And he's also a great avid outdoorsman. If he can be fishing, hunting, or outdoors in any way, that's what he's doing. And he has seen the tracks, and he has seen, you know, the incidents. I've had encounters with Bigfoot and that sort of thing, too. And it's enough to give him pause, you know, and he admits that there are things that he himself can't figure out. So he's grown to have some respect for it over the years.
Do you have any youngins?
I do. I have two sons, neither of whom could care less about cryptozoological creatures, because it's what mom does.
Mom's that crazy person who chases after werewolves and stuff.
If your mom does it, you can't have any interest
in
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't
that funny how that works?
Yeah, it is. It really is true that way. And I would like to mention real quickly, if anybody wants more in-depth information on me or a book list or links to buy the books, you can just go to lindagodfrey.com. And I am rebuilding my Beast of Bray Road page. It's just slowly coming along. But there's already one of those pages up on that. It's a WordPress blog with several pages. And you can find out all kinds of other things at just lindagodfrey.com.
Well, if they don't take over your server like someone tried to do with us a while back, you'll do fine. By the way, if you need any help with WordPress, we're here to help.
Well, you just may hear from me because, yes, I always need...
No, you know where to find me. I'm serious. You know, I'm happy to help get things working better with WordPress because it's pretty difficult. Where do you go from here now? You've covered a lot of books about hairy creatures, particularly werewolves. And you've really made great strides. You've been working at this thing for a number of years. And you haven't driven your husband crazy yet, which is really good. So you have to be a real saint that you can live a normal life and be involved in all this wacky stuff that Chris and I cover. So where do you go next? Are you going to stick with the werewolf stuff, or are you going to go into other supernatural, paranormal aspects of our universe?
Well, I just contracted with Penguin for another book, and it's a little, all I can say right now is it's a little broader ranging. You know, it's a width of, and it digs into some things that I'm very interested in, so I'm excited to get started with it. And I also am branching out. If you watch my website, lindagodfrey.com, in a month or two, probably two, I'm going to be releasing a fantasy, urban fantasy novel that, I'm independent publishing with my agency in New York as an ebook.
So this, of course, will be sold to Hollywood. And Alan Ball, when he gives up doing True Blood, will come to you.
Well, you know, that, of course, is everybody's dream. But I just hope to get out a book that people will enjoy reading. And if it translates to other media, that's great. If not, I'm just, you know, excited about having the fantasy out there.
Very politically correct to say that.
Well, it's true. It really is.
Very briefly, because we cover it so often, do your travels ever take you into the realm of UFOs?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've had people report those. You know, I have the site Weird Michigan. Michigan's just infested with UFOs, and I often get reports from people who see that site. And I don't, that site and my old Beast site are both literally crumbling in cyberspace because my equipment is so antiquated. But you can still go and look at them, especially Weird Michigan is still working pretty well. And you can see UFO things that have been reported.
And remember, folks, we say if your PC equipment is crumbling, get a Mac.
These are Macs.
Oh, they are Macs. They're crumbling Macs.
Yeah, what I run those on is an old PC3 Power Mac, gray or beige Power Mac.
Oh, a beige Power Mac. I understand they haven't made beige Power Mac since the 1990s.
I think it's more like the 1890s.
Is that how it feels?
It is. And so, of course, the software is just antiquated, and I can't get anything else that would work on it, you know. And everything else I'm doing on my much more updated PC laptop. So that's why I'm going to WordPress.
Okay, WordPress is a great platform for blogging.
I think so.
As a matter of fact, our PowerCast site is hosted by WordPress, even though it's not a blog. So you can do just about everything with WordPress. I'll talk to you about that. In any case, your site is lindagodfrey.com.
Right.
And we'll link to it at thepowercast.com so you don't have to remember that. We try when we have an author to link to their book and also to link to their site. So if you want to get information about what they do, that's the easy way to do it. Chris O'Brien, they ever get the video working at OurStrangePlanet.com, or they're still trying?
No, we haven't, and it looks like I'm going to have to move my present initial camera location as well. So, we're shaking things up a little bit with that whole thing, and I need to give old Ben a call and see how he's doing so we can keep moving forward with OurStrangePlanet.com, which is my site.
And, of course, if you want to contact us, on Twitter, we are The PowerCast. There's also a PowerCast fan club over on Facebook. In fact, two of them, and maybe some Facebook maven out there will get together with us to combine the two. It's not very flexible over at Facebook. Really complicated. Linda Godfrey, thank you so much for joining us this week on The PowerCast.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.